si bakwa sangka baba jaja namashahara stako ki jaya pranjaka jaya satyata nipa bunis nanda si rarika dara kuchu garbhakti bindu jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida Shama Kanda Radha Kati Giri Govardhan ki jaya Sri Vinda Vinda ki jaya Navadattan ki jaya Gangi Jumana Tulsi Bhakti Divi ki jaya Kanada Kati Arshila Bindu ki jaya Samavetta Bhakti Bindu ki jaya Gopa Premanandi All glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru Sri Krishna, all glories to Sri Bhagavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimare Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Prachalane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasiddhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7, chapter 7, verse 38. Pati prayasostu rabalaka hare.
Pati prayasostu rabalaka hare.
Upasne sveheri chidravatsata.
Upasne sveheri.
Sasyat manasa kyura sesha dehinam. Samanyata kim vishai opa padanai. Prayasa, a difficult endeavor. Asurabalaka, those sons of demons. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upasane, in discharging devotional service. Sve, in one's own. Shri, core of the heart. Chidravat, just like a space. Sata, who always exists. Svasya, of oneself. Atmana, of the supersoul. Sakyu, of the well-wishing friend. Ashesha, unlimited. Dehina, of the embodied souls. Samanyata, generally. Kim, what is the need? Vishaya, upapadanai, with activities delivering the objects of the senses. For sense enjoyments. Translation, O my friend, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his supersoul feature always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, and there's no difficulty in worshipping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? Because the personality of God, it is supreme, no one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. Nonetheless, if one is a devotee of the supreme personality of God, the Lord is easily obtainable. The Lord is compared to the sky because the sky is vast and within the reach of all, not only of human beings, but even the animals. The Supreme Lord and his Paramatma feature exists as the best well-wisher and friend. As confirmed in the Vedas, Sayujao Sakayo, the Lord and the Super Soul feature always stays in the heart along with the living entity. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart, so that one can always contact him without difficulty. One can do this simply by devotional service. As soon as one hears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one immediately comes in touch with the Lord. A devotee immediately comes in touch with the Lord by any or all of the items of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Ahanavedanam. Therefore, there is no difficulty in coming in contact with the Supreme Lord, ko-ati-prayasa. On the other hand, going to hell requires great endeavor. If one wants to go to hell by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, he must acquire so many things. For illicit sex, he must arrange for money, for brothels. For meat eating, he must arrange for many slaughterhouses. For gambling, he must arrange for casinos and hotels. And for intoxication, he must open many breweries. Clearly, therefore, if one wants to go to hell, he must endeavor very much. But if he wants to return home back to Godhead, there is no difficulty. There's no difficult endeavor. To go back to Godhead, one may live alone anywhere in any condition. We simply sit down, meditate upon the Super Soul, and chant and hear about the Lord. Thus, there's no difficulty in approaching the Lord. Adanta Gopiyar Vishatam Tamisram. Because of inability to control the senses, one must go through great endeavor to go to hell. But if one is sensible, he can very easily obtain the favor of the Supreme Personality of God, because the Lord is always within him. By the simple method of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, the Lord is satisfied. Indeed, the Lord says, Patra Pushram Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paratam Asnami Prayatatmanaha. One offers me with love and devotion a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. One can meditate upon the Lord anywhere and everywhere. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends, the sons of the demons, to take this path back home, back to Godhead, without difficulty. Translation: O my friends, sons of the Suras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Super Soul feature, always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, and he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, and there's no difficulty in worshiping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? So, here Prahlad gives a logical reason why one should worship the Supreme Lord. So the reason is that the Lord exists in the heart of the living entities, and he is the friend of the living entities, not just one living entity, but all living entities. Therefore, it says Ashesha Dehinam. So he not only exists in the heart, he's also the friend. There is no endeavor to carry out this worship and please the Lord, because it's right in the heart. In other words, he's readily available. We don't have to search for him and go to another place or anything. He's always there. So we can do the worship at any time, directed to that Lord in the heart. And the Lord is pleased with that. So if that is the case, why should one endeavor for material sense objects, which require seeking them out, working and doing various activities to get them?
because they don't actually belong to you. You have to use money to pay for them or whatever. But the Supreme Lord is actually in the jiva at all times, and he's friends with the jiva. Well, therefore, the reasoning is that it's much easier to attain the Supreme Lord than it is to attain enjoyment in the material world. And of course, the extension of this is that in attaining the Lord, one gets actual happiness, which is eternal. And in attaining material objects, one gets temporary happiness at best. And sometimes one gets misery. So, therefore, one should worship the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, one can do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, etc. And in this way, one can very easily develop happiness and please the Lord. So that is true, yet we see that most people don't understand this logic at all. If you can become happy just by worshiping the Lord and the Lord, why doesn't everybody do it? And we can tell them, still they don't do it. What is the problem? Well, the problem is they don't believe it. They don't see the Lord in the heart. They can't understand that he is there at all. In other words, there is gross ignorance. And because of this ignorance, in spite of the fact that we will say the Lord is in the heart, you should worship him, etc., they will not do it. Out of ignorance, they have a strong belief that only by accruing material objects can they get happiness. That is their conviction. So this conviction is very strong. It lasts birth after birth in the material world. And it is very, very difficult to get rid of this conviction in material enjoyment. Though, Prahlad here is giving a very nice argument about why should we endeavor like this to enjoy the material world. And it's very easy to please the Lord who's right next to the jiva. So they cannot accept this at all because they are convinced of happiness through material enjoyment. So what is this? This is all ignorance. Well, they say that the cause of the jiva's samsara, repeated birth in the material world, is ignorance. This is what it means. He's completely convinced that he can become happy by enjoying in the material world with material objects, with this material body. Now, this is what happens through ignorance. So, in spite of the logical proposition, jivas in the material world cannot accept. So, how do we convince them? A logical argument in itself cannot convince the person. Unless he's, even if he's very intelligent. He could be an atheist or an impersonalist or whatever. Still, he will not follow this advice. So, how are we going to preach to people and convince them? The Supreme Lord has his own methods of doing this. Built into material nature, he has the law of karma operating with the gunas. So, the law of karma itself is there to try to convince the living entity not to enjoy the material world. Because every time he tries to enjoy and he doesn't follow the laws of Dharma, he has to suffer more. So eventually the jiva should get rid of the suffering. And then he'll follow Dharma. When he follows Dharma, then he'll progress out of tamogun into rajagun and then into sattvagun. When he comes to sattvagun, then he doesn't like enjoyment anymore. Then he's qualified to seek spiritual life. You understand, I'm the Atma, etc. So this is one method of the Lord. Material nature itself has the law of karma at work for the jiva. Yeah? And then the Lord supplies the process of karma, yoga, dharma, etc. to help raise the jiva upwards. Yeah? So this is a partial solution to the problem. That raises the jiva to sattva-gun. It does not make him accept the Lord. He will accept something spiritual, that's all. So, therefore, the next step is that the jiva has to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord in the form of the devotees. And then he can progress to worship the Supreme Lord. Even then, it is difficult for most people, because if you can be sattva-gun, or maybe become attached to that guna itself, which is also material. So, the process normally is a gradual process. By being exposed to bhakti, life after life, a jiva eventually develops shraddha. And when he develops shraddha, then he can accept statements like this. If he doesn't have the shraddha, then he will not understand the logic at all. So that is the normal process. Now, fortunately, the shraddha, now development of shraddha, does not depend upon the gunas. Though sattva guna is more favorable, because one is detached from material energy, you can understand one is the Atma. The development of faith in the Supreme Lord can happen to any person. He could be a tamoguna, rajuguna, or sattva guna. Though sattva guna is more favorable, nevertheless, it is possible for a person and tamoguna also to take to the process of bhakti when he has developed faith. So, therefore, the devotees of the Lord who already have faith and practice bhakti, their duty is to expose all the people and all the gunas to the process of bhakti. Some will develop faith, some have faith already, and they will take to the process. So everyone should be exposed to the process, and for many it will be a slow process of developing that faith. So how do we expose them to bhakti when they don't have faith? They can hear the name of the Lord. They can see the form of the Lord, etc. That is enough for them. And directly they will not partake of bhakti, but by constant exposure to the process of bhakti, eventually faith will develop. It may take many lifetimes, but nevertheless, this is the process of development for people who are very unfavorable. So once a person has developed faith, then he can accept this this logic. The Lord exists, Lord's in the heart. Give up endeavoring for material enjoyment, and instead get happiness from worshipping the Lord. So, therefore, the direct processes of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. These begin once the person has got the faith. Conviction. Yes, the Lord does exist. The Lord is our friend. We should worship Him. He will respond to us. When he has that conviction, then he begins the process of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. So, once that favorable attitude towards the Lord is there, that is the foundation for all the bhakti activities. And that favorable attitude goes with all of the different activities we do. So though these activities engage the senses, like ear for hearing, or voice for kirtan, mind for remembering, though the senses are all material, these activities are not material. They're connected with the Supreme Lord with favorable intention of the jiva. So, they're actually spiritual activities. They are the shakti of the Supreme Lord. So, they're quite different from anything in the material world. How is it that the shakti of the Lord, the spiritual shakti, the chit shakti of the Lord, the sarup shakti of the Lord, appears in the material world. It is the mercy of the Lord. Okay? The process of bhakti is part of the Supreme Lord Himself, part of His chit shakti or sri shakti. And it comes into the material world through the devotees of the Lord. And then it spreads out to the other jivas, and they take up the process also. So these processes of hearing and chanting, remembering and worshipping the deity are not ordinary activities. They're very, very special. They're non-material, actually. Though it looks like they're material because we use our senses, etc. They're actually imbued with the shakti of the Supreme Lord. So if we understand that in our performance of bhakti, then this makes that whole process quite powerful to connect us with the Supreme Lord. We have the jiva, he has his material body and his mind and his senses, and he's trapped in his material body. We have the Supreme Lord, and we have him expanding as his shakti, bhakti. And the jiva partakes of that shakti. So there's a link between the Supreme Lord and the jiva through the process of bhakti, even though it's stuck in the material body. So, this process, by doing the process of bhakti, then the jiva destroys his connection with the material body. He destroys his attachment to material objects, to this body, to his material identity. He destroys his karma. Simultaneously to developing stronger attachment to the Supreme Lord. Okay? So bhakti descends from the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world to the jiva, and then it begins to grow in the jiva like plant. Okay? You plant the seed of bhakti in the heart, and then it begins to grow. Okay? So in the same way, the bhakti or the devotion, the attraction to the Supreme Lord begins to grow and grow and grow, and it pushes out all of the avidya, ignorance, karma, material desires, material attachment, gunas, everything gets pushed away because of the growth of bhakti and the jiva. So, therefore, the process of bhakti is the process of calling or inviting more and more of the shakti of the Lord, bhakti, into the jiva, and filling the jiva up with that bhakti. So simultaneously, once filled with the bhakti, all the agama, ignorance, etc. gets pushed away, removed, destroyed. And as the bhakti increases, it turns into Pladini Shakti. Pladini Shakti and Samvit Shaktis are the prime components of bhakti. And when that becomes very prominent, then the jiva experiences bliss through the Pladini Shakti. So this is how the jiva becomes happy. So here is described how the jiva should worship the Lord and give up his endeavor in the material world, because he can get better happiness from worshipping the Supreme Lord. So that happiness is available as the bhakti becomes stronger and stronger and the Pladini aspect of bhakti manifests. Then he can get actual bliss. So this does not require material objects. It does not require anything external to the jiva. The Lord is in the jiva. Okay. So therefore, while the jiva can get its highest happiness, completely disconnected from everything in the material world, simply from connection with the Supreme Lord. Through that connection, the bhakti develops to its highest extent, and then the jiva manifests pladini, or bliss. Okay. So that is the process by which the jiva can become happy. In spite of the fact that he has, at this point, the material body, etc. Well, generally, sukha refers to the happiness of the material world. And we can say that sukha is the counterpoint of ananda in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we have many things, and we have some sort of reflection of those things in the material world. So we have rasas in the material world, which are something like the rasas in the spiritual world. So we have Madhurya rasa, Sakya rasa, Dasya rasa, etc. Vatsalya rasa. And then we get the resultant bliss, which is a type of sukha. But in the material world, it is simply a reflection that's not connected with the Lord, and consequently the happiness that you get is also, it's simply a facsimile, but not the real thing. So this, of course, is a symptom of, in the material world, this is a symptom of the jiva's desire for happiness or bliss, and therefore he seeks things in the material world. But it is always imperfect, temporary, unsatisfying, whatever sense enjoyment he gets. So that's the material sukha. We can also think of sukha in terms of bhakti. Usually we refer to that as ananda. However, that ananda is only manifested in bhava and prema. When the Kladini Shakti becomes sufficiently manifest because of the prominence of bhakti. So before that stage is not strong enough. Nevertheless, because bhakti is composed of Ladini and some of the Shaktis of the Lord, even in the beginning stages, there will be some elements of bliss there, though it's not fully manifested. So therefore we don't call it ananda, we can call it bhakti sukha, happiness of bhakti. Well, there's a potential for ananda, but it does not manifest fully unless he develops a relationship with the Lord. If he simply gets to Brahman stage, the ananda is simply the absence of material suffering and temporary nature, that's all. So he has capacity for ananda, but it does not manifest fully unless he practices bhakti. Holy name is as potent as Krishna would I. Ever feel the potency of holy name equal with Krishna when chanting? How to overcome that? Well, the problem here is that the name is non-different from Krishna. One doesn't feel the potency of the holy name. But then, the next question is, do you feel the potency of Krishna? And the answer is probably no. That you don't feel either the potency of Krishna or the name. So, what is the problem there? One, of course, we should accept that the Lord and his name are non-different. Not to accept that is considered to be aparad, second aparad. And of course before that we have to accept the position of the Supreme Lord, that he exists as the most wonderful entity with all wonderful qualities. So two things have to be accepted: the existence of the Lord and his wonderful qualities, secondly the name and Supreme Lord are non-different. Those are accepted. Accepting that, when we accept that, we have to accept that favorably. That is why we say, I'm fully in Krishna Rasilaya. We can't say, oh, the Lord exists. No, it's not enough. Along with the acceptance of the Lord, we have to accept our position in relation to the Lord. That of willing service, not involuntary service, forced service. We have to want to serve the Lord. We have to have a favorable attitude trying to please the Lord. In other words, we have to have an affectionate relationship with the Lord. So therefore, in accepting the existence of the Lord, we also have to accept that we want to develop a very favorable relationship with the Lord. So that is the beginning of bhakti. So, if we chant the name of the Lord or hear the name of the Lord with that attitude, then it becomes powerful. However, when we talk about the faith and the acceptance of the Lord, we should not take that in a superficial way. In other words, mentally, we say, oh yes, the Lord exists, I accept him, I'm affectionate to him. That is not enough. That is only a mental state. So the very definition of bhakti, anupulena krishnano silanam, is not a definition of your mental state. It's a description of the condition of the jiva, of the atma. The atma, the very self, has to have a favorable relationship with the Lord. That is the beginning of faith and bhakti. So, when a person chants with that attitude in the atma, then the potency of the name and Krishna become manifest to the person. The process of bhakti works in that condition. Yeah. The bhakti is simple but not easy. Oh, who says that? Well, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says everyone can do it. Women, Vaishyasudras, etc. Chandalas, Malachas can all do it. In that sense, it's open to everyone. Then, of course, he also says that it is easily performed. Susukam kartam avyayam. It is easily performed. So the process itself is not complicated. Chanting is not a difficult process. You don't have to learn a lot of things, etc. In that sense, it's also easy to execute. It does not require high qualifications. It does not require great learning. So in that sense, it is easy. Attaining Krishna, we can say, is rare. And therefore, the stage of bhava is called sudurlabha. Practicing bhakti is easy. To come to the stage of bhava is rare. Because you have to go through anartana, viti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti to get to bhava. In that sense, it is rare. However, even then, that does not mean that Krishna simply refuses to reveal himself to everybody out of a whim. No. He will reveal himself to a person who's qualified. Okay? So with this very rare sudurlabha, what that means is that Krishna does not reveal himself simply because one has performed an activity for a long time or done a lot of hard work. But if one does bhakti, that type of hard work for a long time, and one is developed through asakti, then yes, the Lord will reveal himself. So if one practices the process of bhakti, then the Lord is not sudurlabha. But he is very rare for the jnanis and the yogis and the karmis and the materialists. He never reveals himself to them. So in that sense, he is rare. One who comes to the process of, and of course there are many thousands of people, hardly one knows me in truth. So that means that most people in the material are not interested in bhakti. They're interested in materialism. More fortunate are those who at least take to the process of varnashram and dharma, higher than those of the persons who are the brahmanas, higher than those of the Vaishnavas. So out of the population, there's less people that ultimately take to the process of bhakti because they have not developed the faith. Well, the process of bhakti is, if we compare it to other processes, even karma yoga, it's much easier. If you're going to do karma yoga, you have to give up so many things also. Same things. The four regular principles are there even for karma yoga. So it is only if you're completely materialistic that you can say, oh, it's an easy process. But that means no rules at all. So if we're going to practice any spiritual process, even karma yoga, then it will be somewhat difficult compared to gross materialism or Charvaka Muni's philosophy or whatever. Yeah, in order to get anything in the material world, one has to go through many, many endeavors. Of course, it may not look like great endeavor because a tamogun person, of course, very easily gets his enjoyment from what, drinking or sinful activities or whatever. Still, he has to strive to get those things. In order to get his intoxication, he has to go out and work for it or steal it or do whatever he has to do, do his criminal activities. So even the sinful people have to strive to get their enjoyment, usually through sinful activities, but they have to work to do that. So it would actually be much easier if they didn't do anything, they just sat there. Then they wouldn't do any sinful activities, but they go out and do all sorts of activities to get that enjoyment. And that requires work, they have to do something for that. So, on the other hand, performing bhakti does not require anything because you don't have to expend any money to chant at all. Nothing. No expense. So you can sit there and do it. Yeah. Well, those are different ways. Still, that does not really require much money or whatever in order to do it compared to getting things in the material world in order to be happy. Preaching or whatever is there, that also does not require real expense.